Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
And only on February 7th, 2019.
That's right. We get one shot at February 7th, 2019.
Yes.
Man,
yes.
Let's get it right.
And it's a beautiful, beautiful day. One of the
finally.
Right? Because we have this tomorrow, and then we go back to rain on Saturday.
Don't say. Why do you have to say that? Can't you lie to me? Tell me my canyon trips will not be as treacherous.
Oh, my gosh, that's
right. All these houses that burned, you know, they float across the road in front of me, and it's hard not to just, you know, stop and go, that's somebody's life, man.
Andrew is a resident
drifting away,
Malibu.
You know? Oh, yes, barely still holding on, but we're okay.
And you poor guy.
Now, it's not bad for us. We're lucky. But, man, I tell you, when you look at the devastation that came through right. there and how we all just have to keep rolling, it's a nice thing to be able to get out and stop and kind of look.
But you got lucky. The fire jumped from next door to him over.
Yes.
To the house.
It took
on
the blood from
side.
A turnip. They were like, they don't have anything nice in that house. Let's not burn that one. Who cares? We're out of here. We got very lucky. In fact, we had neighbors, some of my fight choreography buddies, got their hoses and kind of jerry-rigged a thing in their jacuzzi where they would reverse, because the water was out. So they were reverse pumping through their jacuzzi pumps to send the water over to our building. And I'm like, man, that's why I live around production people. They find solutions for everything, you know? Well, Michael,
thank
here
goodness.
It is on a beautiful day, as you said, February 7th. And there is some tremendous theater in the Southland to talk about, starting with the exciting season of shows just announced by the Hollywood Pantages Theater.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the show that we are going to be talking about the most today is the show that is currently on stage at the Pantages Theater. And it is a very iconic musical in theater history called Hello, Dolly.
That's right. One of the best of all time. Great stars have played that role and so many great cast members over the years. And today we will be hearing all about Hello, Dolly, the show
yes.
that the LA Times says distills the mood, elevating properties of the American musical at its giddy best. Man, I wish I wrote that line. I'm going to have to steal that from my next review. On stage now at the Hollywood Pantages.
Please welcome two of its extraordinary stars, Jess Loprato and Christian Hahn.
That's right.
Hello. Thank you.
These people were obviously all there opening night. We just invited them all to come here.
Yes. I'm glad they're all here in the studio.
Perfect.
Welcome both. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Great.
Doing good. Doing real well. Thank
good,
you.
Good, good.
Thank you for having us.
Obviously some good stuff to talk about here today. And I think Hello yeah. Dolly is one of those shows that we get to dig into in a unique way because it is iconic in every sense of the world. So you get to do kind of modern theater, but this is a step back to the golden age, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's one of my favorite musicals. And I used to love watching all the old MGM films growing up and all the Hollywood musicals. And so this has always been a favorite.
That's right.
You know, what I found interesting on opening night, I also am associated with Broadway World TV.
Mm-hmm.
I do all their packages.
Wonderful.
Out here in the West Coast. And I was doing the red carpet interviews, and you would be surprised at how many people, how many of these celebrities have never seen
really?
Hello, Dolly.
Hmm.
Oh, that's surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the millennials have actually seen it more than the adults.
That's interesting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I interviewed Mrs. Jean Kelly.
Oh, yes.
How lovely.
Patricia.
Yes, Patricia, yes.
And I said, so, you've seen Hello, Dolly before? She said, never the stage play. She
wow.
said, I'm kind of married to, you know, the movie.
Yes.
Which,
because
Jean directed.
Directed. Yes, correct.
Yeah. But others, it was astonishing. I said, really? Not even a regional production
wow.
of it somewhere? And they said,
wow.
no. It was their first time.
Well, they were in for a treat then.
This is the right production,
yes.
I think,
no
if you're being introduced
about it.
To the material.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're very fortunate. I sound like, this sounds like something Dolly might say, but there's so much color and life to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. She's colored your outlook in a very positive way, hasn't
yes.
she?
Yes.
I like that. So it's hard not to come out as an optimist after seeing the show, and I would assume even more so in doing the show. Yeah?
Absolutely.
Cool. Very cool.
Well, in the moment it begins, you know, you've got a big smile on your face
right.
because everything
right
is everything is so beautiful to look at.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Broadway version exactly like this?
Yes.
I would assume so.
My my compatriot here can speak to that. Santa Loquasto did our sets and, wow. and our costumes, and he is a legend. And Jess, you were in the Broadway production, and
yeah. So basically, they brought the literally they took the Broadway production from New York, cut and paste, and put it on the road.
That's not, that doesn't usually happen all the time.
No, it does not. So. And like, and that's thanks to our producer, Mr. Scott Rudin, who is. A goat, the greatest of all time, my
yes,
yes,
he is.
So
yes,
he
is.
Really is one to really put the effort and the integrity of the show from New York to this national tour that you're seeing today, that you're seeing here at Fantasia's. And, you know, Santos Designs, because not only did he do the set design, he did the costume design as well. So, and he won a Tony Award for the costume design. So when you have that kind of artistry and that creativity and that collaboration together, you know, of course, with Hello Dolly, you know.
It don't hurt to have Betty Buckley as well.
That's, oh, it does not.
That's
well,
a nice little key to get the show right. She was so fantastic. And I thought the whole cast, top to bottom, just really did a great job. You guys certainly included among that. It must be fun to work in that beautiful space, too, yeah?
Oh,
I love Fantasia's.
It's incredible. You step on the stage for sound check the first night, and you're able to really get a good glimpse at the ceiling and everything.
It's so gorgeous. It's
staggering.
It's my first time performing there.
The architect of the Fantasia's has also designed a few other theaters in Los Angeles, and it's just a calling card, that kind of design. And it was Heinsbergen was his last name, and his son was Tony Heinsbergen, who was a friend of mine.
Wow.
And so it's the Wiltern out here has that same kind of feeling.
Yeah. Right.
The, what is it on Wilshire Boulevard? This it begins with an S. Oh, shoot, I forgot.
Not
the name.
The Signet.
No. They have changed the names a couple of times. At any rate, there's some gorgeous theaters.
Oh, yeah. The atmosphere at the Fantasia's is unlike any other so far that I've been experiencing.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, we are talking about Hollywood Fantasia's Theater and the amazing production there now, Hello Dolly. Kristen and Jess, we're going to come back to you guys in just a second. But before we do that, Michael, we should take a moment and pay our bills so we can stay on the air.
Fair enough.
So.
Bad radio to get kicked off 10 minutes into the show, I've heard. So.
We'd like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, Princess Cruises for coming on board as presenting sponsors for State of the Arts during 2019. A pioneer in excellence on the high seas for meaningful travelers who seek enriching experiences, only Princess Cruises offers cruise vacations to help you come back new, providing fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, cultures, and loved ones in a new way.
One of the best-known names in cruising, Princess Cruises first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third largest cruise line in the world, renowned for innovative ships, an array of onboard options, including extravagant entertainment and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in worldwide cruising, Princess carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year to more than 360 destinations aboard a fleet of 17 modern vessels.
Experience the next wave in vacation travel. At the end of each month, from September to August, one lucky winner will win a cruise for two in a balcony stateroom on board one of the new Ocean Medallion class ships.
Now you said something.
Make sure to come to our LA Talk Radio site on the internet and punch up State of the Arts, and you will have your opportunity via the logo for Princess on our page here at the network to enter every month for your chance to win. And I must say, this is a very extravagant gift.
Yeah.
It is a gift of $5,000 value.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah.
And you can enter as many times as you want.
Yeah.
So go on there, get your friends and family to click on there. Yeah. And no cost to enter. It's just a great, great prize. And Princess, among the greatest supporters of the arts here. I mean, they are amazing, amazing, dedicated artists.
Very
people
much
themselves,
so.
So. Of course, we also would like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts here in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts. And as always, we encourage you to check out one of the best photographers here in Los Angeles, Carrie Ann Francis at cafrancisphoto.com. She'll get your work. Go get your headshots done by her. She's as good as it gets. So
absolutely.
Thank you to all our great sponsors.
Yes.
Obviously, lots of good stuff going on, Michael.
Yeah.
Fun stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wanted to ask, before we get into the first interview, and we're going to talk to you, Jess, first.
Okay.
Yes.
So get ready.
I was
it's
just
time.
Harkening back to the red carpet and the responses in the interviews that I was doing. First of all, for my own self, I was so in awe of the fact that Betty Buckley was doing this.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What
right.
kind of a spin would she put on this role? Mm-hmm. And could she possibly make it so much her own that it would make you forget about every other woman who had ever done it?
Wow, that's saying something.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I think, quite frankly, that she has achieved that.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I do. And, I mean, you know, no one will ever forget the luxury of Carol Channing being Hello, Dolly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or in Hello, Dolly, and Dolly Forever. And did you see the star, her star, in the front of the theater?
We sure did. Yeah. It was like we received her blessing. It was almost felt like that. It was lovely.
That's amazing. Yeah,
when we were in San Diego, right prior to this engagement here at Pantages, so that's when Miss Channing passed away.
Yes.
And backstage at the Civic Center in San Diego, they have different portraits and pictures and show posters from all the shows that have passed by in San Diego. And right by Betty Buckley's dressing room is the portrait and the show poster from the production of Hello, Dolly with Carol Channing.
Wow.
Right next to it.
Wow.
So when you kind of have that spirit there, you're in a good place. And, you know, I think she was watching over us.
No doubt.
For that week.
We had the pleasure of her being the second guest ever on this program.
Oh, wow. How wonderful. Yeah.
Amazing.
Which was 8 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. That's she incredible. Was delightful.
Well, I'm sure.
Was amazing. Amazing. So, Andrew, do you want to give the wonderful Jess Loprato his introduction?
We certainly should. He's certainly earned it after all the work he's done. Our first guest, ladies and gentlemen, holds a BFA in musical theater from Pace University. He's a theater veteran whose Broadway credits include Carousel, Hello Dolly, Cats, On the Town, Newsies, Bye Bye Birdie, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, and The Boy from Oz.
Regional credits include the Radio City Christmas Spectacular at the Grand Ole Opry, American Dance Machine at the Joyce Theater, and A Bronx Tale at Paper Mill Playhouse.
Other credits include In Your Arms at the Old Globe, Freddie Falls in Love at the Signature Theater, and an appearance on So You Think You Can Dance.
Ah, he is here today to talk about his role as Barnaby Tucker in the spectacular revival of Hello, Dolly. On stage now at the Hollywood Pantages Theater through February 17th, please welcome once again Jess Loprato.
Lord, I love you, man.
Thank you.
Great to
Don't
see you,
stop.
Man.
Don't stop. No, that's sweet.
Hey, I got to say, as a fight choreographer and an actor, I sat there and I watched, and I feel like I watch shows slightly different than anybody else. I feel like I'm always like, okay, well, what's going on over here? And let me check out this guy, see what this guy's doing. But it was interesting to see how spot on, not only you, but your cohorts, certainly the three male who are in such hijinks, hiding in closets, jumping on tables.
Yes.
Your movement was so specific, so quality. It was really great to see. That's obviously from your Broadway background, but you got to have a really strong dance background as well too. Yeah.
Yes, dance has been my base form of training since I was 3 years old.
Wow.
That's when I first started. My sister is 3 years older and she started dancing before me, so it's kind of like the quintessential Mike from A Chorus Line scenario where his sister went to dance studio, I tagged along. Wow. I caught the bug.
Love
and,
it.
And then it was history from there.
Now, does your sister still dance?
Yes, she does. Wow. And she teaches dance as well.
Awesome. So yes. You better be good. She's going to let you know if you're not.
I know. Well, no, she's my she's my toughest critic. She came and saw the show in Miami. She was like, yeah, that foot could have been pointed.
She's on the
better.
Phone right now. She wants to let us know a couple things you did wrong. So.
I'm like, all right, Jenny, come on. So, yeah, that's where I got most of my basic training from. I went to my local dance studio in my hometown for dancers only in Little Falls, New Jersey. I studied there for 15 years, and then I branched out from there. I had some wonderful teachers and choreographers. I was part of a competition team, so we did that circuit as well. While I was in school, and that's where I kind of got my performance opportunities as a dancer, as a performer, because, you know, I was a little ham on stage, so I couldn't, like,
shock of all things,
you know.
Barnaby being the dramatic masterpiece
oh
that we've
gosh.
All come to know and love.
So Shakespearean. But going to your point about the precision of this show, that's really credit to Jerry Zaks, which I'm sure we'll reference a million times.
Absolutely.
Jerry is kind of like my spirit animal. He is, without question, one of the most fascinating people I've ever experienced or been in the room with. He is just unbelievable. His timing is perfect. And obviously that, you know, credibility, of course, because he's a 4-time Tony winner there, pretty much that says it all.
Yeah.
But he really just had the specificity about the timing from point A to point B and then anything else in between. And his methods, you know, they're so distinct and they're so definite, and you trust him so well because you know that he's right, because he's done this for so many years and he knows the timing of it all, and it's fresh every time. So along with what I was able to bring to the table and what Jerry was able to bring to the table, I think, you know, we found a nice version of Barnaby that we both felt very comfortable with, and what his relationship with all the other actors in the show as well, with Kristen as well. So, but yeah, it was very exciting to be able to showcase my dance talents and what I was able to train all these years for, and because I did the show in New York as well, I covered Barnaby there too.
Did you?
So I had that experience to just kind of learn and understand the role. But that was with Miss Bette Midler, who's a newcomer. Just give her a chance, you know.
She's got a little talent. She's going to make it one of these
days.
She's
just starting out, you know. Give her a chance.
Tell us how that was working with her. I mean, the first day.
Oh, yeah. Did you ever lean over to Betty Bucklingo? That's not the way Bette did it.
No.
Just once.
Oh, my God. I'll never forget. This was probably either the first or the second day of rehearsal. We first met Bette in New York. And she was like, I want to make a speech. And Jerry was like, oh, here we go. Take it away, Bette. So then Bette was like, hi, I'm not used to doing this because it's normally just me. So it's going to take some adjustment to kind of like do this with other people. Sure. And I know you all are much better dancers than I am. You're much better singers than I am. You're much better actors than I am. I know none of you are as funny as I am. And then we were like, oh, well, that just broke the ice right there. So from then on, you know, she was a hoot. She was like a one-woman hoot nanny. And then Donna Murphy, who alternated the role as well, who was wonderful.
Yes, of course she is. You know, your spin on your character, whether it was a combination of Mr. Sachs and your thoughts, I would imagine it would have been, reminded me, you know who Penn and Teller is, right? Who is the one that doesn't talk?
Teller doesn't talk.
That, you know, his body language?
Yes.
That's what you put in there. It comes off on the, I think, and it's so adorable. It's so
Thank
cute,
you.
Right?
Oh, yeah, I love Penn and Teller. That's a compliment.
I mean, I've never
Thank
seen it,
you.
I've seen it many times, but I've never seen it played like that before. You underplay it so that it's just right.
Oh, yeah, well, it's, you know, it's like, Laurel and Hardy, you know, Cornelius and Barnaby are a comedic duo.
Exactly.
So one could be the straight man to the other person's, you know, extreme reactions here and there, and vice versa. It switches back and forth. But I feel like Barnaby definitely has where he's just an observer, and he just experiences all what's going on, because Cornelius is really the one who's leading this experience going into New York. And he's 33 in the show. I'm 17, so I'm very naive as a 17-year-old. So I'm just seeing all this, you know, naivete, just like, oh, wow. Just like deadpan. And Jerry, you know, brought that out too. He was like, yeah, this is how we kind of find the dynamic. Because, and what's great also about Jerry is that he's able to recycle stuff from the show from New York, but he knows that they're different actors. Mm-hmm. So he knows that each actor has capabilities that are different from the other actor who had played the role prior.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows how to find the best moments that stayed from the show in New York, as well as finding new things from the actors who are playing them currently. And we were able to find that, which was really amazing.
Open-mindedness.
Well, no doubt. And I think that's a good way of putting it, too. Barnaby's very open to the world in this production. He's very open to what he's about to learn, as we all should be from Dolly, right? I mean, she teaches us all a lot of good
what
stuff.
What is I forgot the word that he says. If you get your
pudding.
Yes. When you release that word and go off stage, it's just exactly what we're talking about.
Well, it's funny how you brought that up, because in a more compact environment at the Schubert Theater in New York, we read that line differently. Like actors like Taylor Trench and Charlie Stemp, who played the part before I did, we played it where they were just whispered like, pudding. And then it would get a big laugh.
Yeah.
But that's different in a bigger house. Like most of the houses that we've been playing in around the country so far are like humongous. They're like almost like 3,000 seat theaters. So you have to kind of adjust to these new surroundings. So then after a while, maybe the whisper didn't read as well. So we decided like, well, let's figure out a different way. So I'm like, well, I'm going to just say the word and see if that does anything. And I remember we did it in Tampa, Florida. And I said it, and the audience was like belly laughing. I'm like, just by me saying the word instead of whispering.
That's great.
That's like the very intricate, you know, specificity again.
That's a good find, too, when you get that and you get it locked in.
Oh, it's
in.
So
nice
good.
Feeling.
I'll never forget that moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, the name of the show is Helly Dolly. Helly Dolly. That's the sequel. It's coming out next week. Betty Buckley and Hello Dolly at Hollywood Pantages. Truly a great, fun production. We were there opening night for the red carpet opening, and nobody does it better than the Pantages. Obviously, this is a tour, and it's coming through here. It's here for all the way, I believe, through February 17th. Is that correct?
Yeah. Correct.
And the easiest way to get tickets is go to www.hollywoodpantages.com/HelloDolly.
But you know, you can also go to the box office and get tickets, which I think is the better way to do it, right? And that is right in front of the theater, opens daily at 10 a.m. And, of course, you can use Ticketmaster outlets if you like as well. But I'd go to the box office and kind of be real sweet and schmooze them to get real good seats.
Every box office personnel there is going to get flowers this week because you said
exactly.
that. So.
We're filled up here.
Well, they are great down there. Not only is the staff great, but the shows are always top-notch. And every time you go, you get to be a part of Hollywood history because you're sitting there in the Pantages, and you've got this amazing feeling of all the shows that have come before you. Mm-hmm. I went over to Wooden Vine and had some good food right before I came out, and lots of fun. It's just a fun atmosphere to go. If you live in Los Angeles, you haven't been down to the Pantages, first of all, what are you doing? Get out and go down to the Pantages. Second of all, take it as a date night. Valentine's Day coming up here next week.
Absolutely.
Go see
Hello.
Perfect timing.
Absolutely.
Perfect timing.
A show about love. Now, you told us that lovely story with Bette. Mm-hmm. First rehearsal meeting Betty Buckley.
Oh my gosh. So I had met Betty prior. At a few times because I had done Cats, the last revival on Broadway.
Wow.
I was Mungo Jerry.
How great.
How old were you?
I was 15. No, I'm kidding. No, that was back in 2016. So I was 23 at the time. And I had done the show. We were already after we opened. And Betty, of course, being the one and only Grizabella, made her appearance at the show. I had met her a couple times there, but this was really the first time that I got to like meet her.
Right.
And she was just the loveliest person, and you know, because she's synonymous with Cats because of her indelible mark that she's made on that show, and of course she won the Tony Award for it. So I really got a chance to like say who I was and who I played in the show because we're all in cat garb and you know, in our wonderful makeup and stuff. So it was just a wonderful meeting there. And then when I found out that I was going to be doing the show with her, I'm like, finally, I get to do a show with her. And the first time that we sat down at a table and we just like did a read through, and you can just hear her like reciting Mike Stewart's book and the material. You're just like, well, I'm on cloud nine right now.
Yeah.
It's pretty remarkable because she, like all the great performers, they're interpreters. And they know how to interpret material to where it really comes from the heart, to where it comes from either a comedic filter or from more from an emotional filter, melancholy filter. I feel like with Betty, she's able to find all those elements and put them into one performance.
Right.
And she found it. And I think, you know, with Jerry's guidance, of course, and with all of our wonderful creative team members as well, she was able to find it and put her own stamp on it, which is the best part of the show. And if you know the history of the show, the number of wonderful artists and ladies who have played this part have made their indelible stamp on this role in their own unique way. So for Betty to do this in her own special way, it's really, really amazing. And as you witnessed on opening night, it's, you know, it just leaves the audience in tears of joy, and you know, you just feel for the character.
Yeah.
She's very present on stage, and she takes one moment one at a time. She's very good about, you know, not showing that she's anticipating the next beat. The best actors, and I can quote Jerry on this too, the best actors are the ones who don't know what comes on the next page. Mm-hmm. Who can show you that they're in the moment.
Right.
At my age, that happens more frequently. Each show I do.
That's true.
What happens on the next page, man? What clothes am I supposed to be wearing? I can't remember anymore.
But it was really exciting just to watch. And, like, of course, she's going to, you know, knock it down with her voice. I mean, like, that voice.
Right, no doubt.
I mean, you know, it never fails. It never fails.
And, also, exactly to what you're speaking with regard to her sensibilities as an actress.
Yes.
And taking a script like that. And that scene in the Harmonia Gardens when she's eating by herself.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
you know, it's a long period, and, yeah. and it's kind of, it goes past the point where I think it, from the audience point of view, it's like, when is this going to end? And then it's something else is like greater than just the other thing that she did
yes.
a moment ago.
Yes.
And she leads you, you know, you yeah. have to go with her.
That's
There's
right.
no mistake about this, you know. You cannot leave until you've gotten to the end of that.
Oh, That's my right. gosh. And that is a tour de force in itself.
That's Absolutely.
Like, that's like a little one-act play right
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
So we're watching on the courtroom dock, just like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
And this, and like, I remember we were in Chicago, and we had a little girl in the audience, and she was giggling and giggling the entire time. It broke Betty out of this, you know, focus where she was just like, oh, my God, I cannot take it with this little girl. And she was just, like, smiling from ear to ear. She was like, will you just come on the road with us?
Right.
Can you just be our standby just to be, like, laughing? At
Paid
everything?
Audience member. I like
Paid
that. It's a good deal.
for, like, a little girl. And she was so cute. And all of us were just, like, crying laughing, too. Like, this is too good.
Yeah.
This and my parents were at that show too. So they were like, "Man, we came to the right show."
Well, and we should say too, the Pantages is very welcoming to young children. Certainly, 5 and older, I think, is
yes.
what they recommend for the theater. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't bring children under 5, but certainly if they're above that, bring them and introduce them to this show because it's a great one to expose
yes.
kids to. It's silly, it's fun, and there's none of those moments. Like even other shows, modern shows, there's moments where certain kids need to process a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you kind of realize, but this one is just nonstop fun. It's mm-hmm. just laughter and a lot of fun dancing. So it's a fun one to introduce your theater to children
yes.
to, your children to theater to.
I agree.
Yeah.
You both. We should go ahead. You worked at the Old Globe, didn't you?
I did. I worked.
We should do
I worked in San Diego at In Your Arms, which was an original dance narrative
yeah.
show that was conceived by Christopher Catelli, who choreographed Newsies.
Right.
Won the Tony for it. A few Newsboys and I, we all did that show. But it was so unique because it was entirely original.
Yeah.
The idea was that there were 10 vignettes told through dance, written by 10 different playwrights,
wow.
with original music by Stephen Flaherty, who wrote the
yeah.
Music to Ragtime, Anastasia recently,
Once
on This Island, like a legend, a living legend.
Wow.
And who shows his versatility because each playwright has a different setting. So, like, there's a 20s piece, there's
wow.
an African piece, there is a like comedic piece, and like the playwrights range from the late, great Carrie Fisher, who I was centered in as my my partner at the time, Sam Stern. We were characters in Carrie's
cool.
piece, which was pretty cool. But then it was Terrence McNally, Chris yeah. Durang, Doug Carter Bean,
wow.
Lynn Nottage, Marsha Norman. It was like a beautiful time. We were here for 3 months in 2015. It was
yeah.
so amazing.
I have a friend who saw that show and loved it and loves everything at the Old Globe. So our live arts calendar day happens to be from the Old Globe.
Yeah.
So yeah, a little homage.
That's my hometown, San Diego.
Yeah, that's right.
I love
yeah.
San Diego.
Ladies and gentlemen, Donald and his wife, Marvelous, have been living the American dream since immigrating from Zimbabwe nearly 3 decades ago. They have a beautiful house and impressive careers. And now one of their daughters is getting married.
Huh?
But when the bride insists on a traditional African wedding ceremony, tensions start to rise. Throw in an eccentric aunt from the old country and a bewildered bridegroom, and soon it's not certain the couple will ever make it down the aisle.
Familiar takes a funny and warm-hearted look at tradition, marriage, and what it means to be an American family. The New York Times calls it an engrossing, fiercely funny comedy drama that probes with subtlety and smarts.
Familiar is on stage at the Old Globe Theater through March 3rd. Mm-hmm. For tickets or more information, visit theoldglobe.org or call 619-573-2426.
That's right. And obviously, as we talk about all these great shows around Southern California, we should take the time to say what we always say. It's most important that you go see theater. It's
mm-hmm.
not necessarily most important what you see. It's important that you go out and support the live arts. See something. Of course, try to see something great, but also expose yourself and your children to
Especially
the live arts.
Especially your children.
That's mm-hmm. right. Get out from front of the TV and put down your phones and go have some fun.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's magical for many children who can't, you know, who prior to going to the theater haven't been able to express themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And to see that on stage is something that's helped so many kids
That's right.
be able to come out of that shell and be who they are meant to be.
And it'll do you some good, too. So it's a nice thing. It's
mm-hmm.
a nice thing to get out. Your heart feels good.
Yeah.
And you generally
Absolutely.
Feel like you accomplished something and you still got entertained.
Exactly.
So that's a good thing.
Our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, holds a BFA from Carnegie Mellon University. She has appeared on Broadway in A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder and Our Town.
She also appeared in the role of Phoebe in the national tour of Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder. Regional credits include Guys and Dolls with Main Street Music Theater and Death Takes a Holiday. On film, she has appeared in Five Flights Up and Our Town with PBS Masterpiece Theater.
She joins us today to talk about her current role as Minnie Fay in Hello, Dolly! At the Hollywood Pantages Theater. Please give another warm welcome to Kristen Hahn.
Yeah.
Oh, God, the time.
Yeah. Oh, they're standing.
Oh, my God.
They're standing.
I think that may be the first official standing ovation
that
we've
is.
Ever had
oh,
in a studio.
Thank you, Jess Licato.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Our audience is older. They don't usually stand up like that. It's pretty good to see some serious love they showed you there.
So
you
pleased.
Were so funny.
Oh.
And what
hilarious.
A light you were, too, in this show.
Thank
and I
you.
Thought that could be said about all the members of the cast. You guys were all amazing. But truly, I thought it was interesting because this role sometimes can be swept under the rug. It's a role that gets swept away with the show sometimes, right? But you were highlighted, and I think the director certainly did a great job, too, of saying, hey, this character has something very specific to say.
Absolutely. Jerry was really wonderful in guiding me towards finding this girl who is so warm-hearted and so delightfully zany, but she has the best of intentions at heart, and you know, really really cares about her friend, and that was really what he kept driving home to me, was she's funny because she's real, you know.
Yeah, she's honest.
She's honest, exactly, mm-hmm. And that's what makes her so fun and funny to listen to.
Well, it's a perfect pairing. This couple sitting here in the studio today, perfect
Thank
pairing.
You. We like to think so.
Absolutely.
In fact, they'd like to announce their engagement here on our show today. Ladies and gentlemen, finally.
It's the Valentine show. Yes, I'm very lucky to have him as my onstage partner. He, we'll get into this a little bit later, I have a feeling, but the other night something happened where he had to literally pick me up and
no.
You
know. We should do embarrassing moments now because I want to hear the story. What's interesting about that is I love that this whole cast seemed to do that for one another.
Yes.
Maybe not literally picking each other up, but it was interesting to see how anything on that set, everybody was just very involved in all the action. That's got to be a great feeling.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and that's something else that, you know, we really credit our creatives with and our producers, is they took great pains to assemble a group of not only very talented people, but really nice people.
Yeah.
Genuinely kind people. And so it's a joy to come to work every day because we know that we can trust each other on stage and off.
Yeah.
So, and I, you know, that may sound trite, but I really mean it. It's the truth.
It's not your first time here in California or Los Angeles, is it?
No, I was actually born here.
Oh,
I was born at Hollywood Presbyterian Hospital.
Wow.
But we moved when I was four. So for all intents and purposes, I grew up in Connecticut, but I did grow up here a little bit, and I was here in Los Angeles with... excuse me, not Los Angeles. The Gentleman's Guide Tour to Love and Murder was here,
yeah.
But
yes.
I was not in the show at the time. I joined a year in.
Which role did you play?
I played Phoebe. I was in New York. I was in the Broadway production. And then when the Broadway production closed, I joined the road company and took over the one of the lead roles. And so I was in Costa Mesa for that. But
Talk to me about touring.
Yeah.
The process of touring, do you like it? Is it challenging? Is it something that you embrace?
Yeah, I mean, it is a challenge, certainly, just in the sense of, especially for the 1 week engagements where you're picking up and moving to a new city each week, and so it takes a minute to get your bearings and get your groceries and all those things, but and also sort of not to feel a little disoriented, you look into the wings and say, where am I? And sometimes I have a mental picture of the theater that we were in previously the last week. So, you know, Jess and I have an exit in Act One, and I follow him, thank goodness, because there have been times when I take a left turn and I look and he's going right, and I'm like, oh yeah, it's
yeah, gotta
that
go.
Way. But
tether you guys together with a leash, so anywhere you go, you got a buddy.
That would be useful. No, I depend upon him. But touring is lovely though, because you get to see the country in a really exciting way, and not only are we fortunate enough to have our days to go explore the city and all it has to offer, but then we get to come to the theater at night and connect to sort of a microcosm of a culture, you know, wherever you might be. It's every audience has its own sort of aesthetic and point of view, and you know, it's great. It's so much fun to relate to new groups of people.
Mm-hmm. Where did the tour open?
We opened in Cleveland.
In Cleveland.
Yes.
Okay.
Which was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. So you've got how many dates ahead of you?
We are currently through August right now.
Right.
That'll be in Boston.
Will that most likely extend itself?
That's the hope.
Yeah.
That's the hope,
I would think so.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many places else to go.
I know. Exactly. Dolly needs to go everywhere.
Yes, she does.
Are you having... Gentleman's Guide must have been
thrilling
to be a part of.
It was so much fun.
And talk about timing. Comedic timing. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, it was quite remarkable just to watch those insane quick changes that our Dicequith family, who is played by one person, has to do backstage. Some of them, I think the fastest change was 18 seconds or something insane.
Wow.
And then have to run on stage and be a completely different human and know who you are at that moment. I think he played 9 roles.
Wow. Killer.
Yeah, Jefferson Mays played the role on Broadway, and John Rapson on the road, both brilliant. So that was, sort of a show for all of us. You know, we'd stand backstage and have that to look forward to as well, because it was just so much fun and the music is so great. Much like Dolly, the costumes in that show are so beautiful,
oh,
so colorful.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
So it was great fun.
Well, tell me a little bit about this role, and obviously you brought a wide-eyed kind of ingenue quality to this role, and beautiful vocals, just gorgeous throughout the whole show.
Thank you.
Tell me what you wanted to do with this piece when you got it, knowing how many great people have played it before as well. That's got to be a little bit challenging.
Oh, gosh, totally. I mean, you know, I'm a fan of the gals who have played this role before me, and it was just sort of a matter of honoring the tone that they had set and also bringing myself to it as well, which, as Jess mentioned before, Jerry was so wonderful with all of us about really letting us be free to be ourselves and bring ourselves to these roles and not, you know, having to conform to a cookie cutter version of the same thing.
And that's the sign of a very good director.
Absolutely.
And he will release that to you.
Yes. Completely. And you know, it makes you trust them and
sure.
it we knew we were in good hands, but also having him there to guide us in the sense of, you know, we've done this before, and so like we kind of know what works by now, and you know, but so open to trying new things. And Minnie is a fun character to play, because the first thing I say is to the audience, and I get to my very first moment in the show. I don't appear till about halfway through the first act, and I get to stop and turn to the audience and talk to them for probably about 30 seconds, mm-hmm. which is, you know, feels like a bit of a hurdle at first when you're like, oh my gosh, but it's a joy, and that's where, you know, connecting to the audience and kind of getting to meet them, you know, like they have their personality every single night, and that's so much fun. And so with Minnie, I, as you said, I just try to stay open, because I'm having a conversation with them as much as anyone else that I talk to on stage. And so that's been a great challenge and a really wonderful, and it keeps challenging me every night, because it's new.
Of all the roles that you have done in theater to this point, where do you rank this role?
Oh, gosh. I mean, it's like choosing your favorite child.
Which I have to do daily. Like, no kidding. My kids walk up. Who do you love more, Daddy? It's weird.
Oh, my gosh.
I think I should have taught them that.
That's funny. No, I mean, truly, I know, it sounds like I'm just giving the PC answer, but I love them all equally, because they're I've been fortunate to be able to do some really different things. And I think it's also hard for me in my mind to untether it from the people I've been able to work with and the experiences that I've been fortunate to have. And you become like a family the entire time with which each cast that you work with. And so they're all special to me. But, you know, Minnie is unique in that I think, you know, she's 17, and so she's a little younger, and it's fun to kind of, you know, revisit that time in your life and through someone else's eyes, through her very wide eyes.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun. She's got a great sense of humor.
Let me ask the other side of that question is, what is a role that you have not yet played that you really want to play?
Oh, thank you for asking that.
because there's producers and directors listening, so be ready.
Well, you know, it's funny. Minnie is a bit of a character lady and kind of a comedic lady, but I also have done some ingenue roles, and I trained in a classic. I went to school for opera, actually, so
wow.
I have a background as a classical soprano as well.
Wow.
So you know, all of those sort of Lerner and Lowe ladies, My Fair Lady, Camelot, all of the Rodgers and Hammerstein ladies, you
have
know,
you considered
Laurie in Oklahoma.
Playing Minnie Fay as Queen Guinevere?
Well, that would be very interesting. Yes, maybe tonight I'll come out and have a British accent.
Jerry's going, I got a couple notes from tonight's performance.
We've got an actor going.
They're calling the little girl from the audience in Chicago. You're on, kid,
yeah,
go.
Yeah, seriously.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can go see this show for as low as $35 at Hollywood Pantages. It's a beautiful piece, and I think Michael and I take great pride in being able to recommend so many great shows that come through the Pantages. This is one of the best and certainly one of our favorites that we got to go out and stand there and watch this happen, because it truly is an iconic production. It's something that if you haven't seen Hello, Dolly, this is a great way to be introduced to it. You can call and get tickets at 1-800-982-2787, 1-800-982-2787.
Or go to the HollywoodPantages.com site and or Ticketmaster.com. You can get them there too. Or, as I said earlier in this program, the Hollywood Pantages box office, open daily at 10 a.m.
And we should take a moment here and just kind of laud what happens in the Hollywood Pantages, and that they have now announced their season coming up.
Yes.
Some great things coming up, including some really exciting shows coming back that people may not have been able to get tickets to the first
Absolutely.
Time.
Yeah.
So some cool stuff going on. Michael, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Well, the Pantages is presenting Disney's Frozen Summer, the Donna Summer musical.
Wow.
Will follow.
That's
that.
Right. Yeah.
Then Anastasia,
mm-hmm.
right? And those are fantastic. I'm delighted that they've come here so quickly, actually.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's
really
great.
Amazing.
Especially
really amazing.
With Anastasia just closing, right? It's closed.
Yeah,
it's closing in March.
Right.
It's closing in March.
Next month.
I knew it was coming coming up.
They've also got their Broadway and Hollywood season as well at the Dolby Theater, which is a great thing. A lot of good stuff. And I believe Hamilton has been announced as coming back to Hollywood Pantages.
I think I read that too.
And if I sneak on, they might not notice, and I can put that on my resume.
That's right.
Man, I tell you, that is a show that I went extremely skeptical because I don't like new things.
Sure.
You know, I've always said that new is not as good as old and tried and true. And I went in there and I sat and I was just blown away. It was truly a great night at the theater presented by
Pretty
them.
Incredible.
That will begin in March of 2020. Hamilton will return. And more about the Broadway and Hollywood season at the Dolby Theater, Mean Girls, Jimmy Buffett's Escape to Margaritaville, Lerner and Lowe's My Fair Lady.
Woo! Oh, there you go.
SpongeBob musical.
One of Michael's favorites, truly. It's what he's really looking forward to.
The winner of 10 2018 Tony Awards, including Best Musical, The Band's Visit.
That's right.
Oh, fantastic.
And
so
many shows
cool
in there.
Is
great
that?
Way to take kids out to the theater, to introduce some people to a new generation of theater goers, which is a great thing to
That's
do
That's a
as
good
well.
Batch of musicals right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
right
no great season.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
And now, embarrassing moments.
Poor
Don't
Kristen
get scared.
Doesn't have any ears left. I think I just gave her ears. Goodness.
That's all right. I didn't need them.
Singers don't need to be able
no.
to hear. That's right. This is a little bit we do where we like to introduce some of the things that have happened to our more seasoned performers, so younger people listening to the show and other performers out there can know that the show must and very often does go on. Do either of you have a moment?
Oh, yes. I'm going first.
No.
Oh,
yes. Go, girl.
Okay. So I have a history, it would seem. Well, on my last tour and this tour now, as of a couple nights ago, of just face planting, just completely wiping out. It's only happened twice, one per each show, and I hope to keep it that way. But The first show in Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder, there's a scene where we're all sitting around a dinner table, very, very refined, very, very fancy, beautiful dresses and such, evening wear in the early 1900s. And then the scene quickly turns to chaos, and we all have to get up and run around the table because someone's chasing us with a large hunting rifle because he's gone insane. But anyway... It was,
as one does.
Right. You know? It was towards the beginning of my run in the role, and I got up to start running, and my dress, the train of my dress, was caught underneath my chair. So I went to go and just went boom. And I couldn't get up. I was wearing a mermaid dress, and I literally could not get up. I was flat on my stomach, and I was mortified but also laughing hysterically just because it's so ridiculous. And I looked up at my cast members with these just sort of what I imagine were fearful doe eyes and said, please help me. So they had to literally pick me up. Two of them. One tried, and it wasn't enough. So two people had to come over, pick me up, hoist me up, and throw me against the back wall because I was laughing so hard that I couldn't get myself together. And I tried to turn around at one point and pretend like, maybe if I pretend like I'm crying because we're supposed to be upset, it'll look okay. And I couldn't do it. I was laughing so hard. I turned right back around. Professional over here.
Was the audience with you?
Well, fortunately, it's such chaos in that moment that they didn't notice. No one noticed. Sure. I had friends at the show that night. They were like, what are you talking about? I didn't see you fall.
Okay.
And then, cut to like 3 nights ago, or maybe 2 nights ago, here at the Pantages, there is also a moment where the show, I don't want to give too much away, but the show breaks out into chaos, and there are people just racing around the stage like mad, and I'm in a huge evening wear with a gigantic bustle, and I have to drag my dear friend Jess Loprato here by his feet across the stage. And
because
so,
my character is...
He's fainted.
I fainted.
And so I'm dragging him across the passerelle. I get to my mark. I drop his feet, and then I somehow staggered and just fell on my face again.
Nice.
Completely fell on my face.
Nice.
Again, I am laughing.
This goes on your special skills now. Perfect.
Apparently it does. I look up at Jess, and Jess...
here you do pratfalls.
Yes, let's see him. You will see one.
I'm sure it looked like it totally belonged because everyone is on the floor rolling around.
Oh, yeah. It's just a lot of bananas.
And so poor Jess had to, drag me, awaken himself from his fainting spell, pull me up and drag me across the stage all the while saying, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? And I was, but it was amusing. But I am a professional, I swear, and this has only happened twice. They were both mistakes, but I do admit to laughing.
See, that's the beauty of live theater.
Yeah.
You will never see the same performance twice.
That's the truth.
Right? Kristen, if people were going to go to find out more about you, where would they go? Is there a good website or Instagram that you'd like to announce?
Sure. My Instagram is khan23, and there is also a website in the works. So that will be.
Will we be able to see a special dose of all your falls coming up, a pratfall combination going on?
I hadn't considered
That's
it.
That's what
but
we
you
need
know,
to do.
I will be choreographing a ballet today.
Watch Jess drag her off stage in this giant bustle.
Yes, rehearsal tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Jess, what you got for us?
Oh, well, it was the day of January 26th, 2013.
Wow.
I was in the production of Newsies on Broadway. For all the fansies out there, hello, seize the day. You kings of New York, the world will know that you're, carrying the banner. Going on. So, I was in the show. This was almost the year mark, because we opened in 2012. Another great dancer, performer, Ryan Steele, was in the show. In the show, if you've seen the show, there is a moment in Seize the Day, towards the end of Act 1, where Ryan's character, Specs, at the time, does turns in second and spirals pirouettes on a newspaper. It's a great moment in the show, great moment in that number too. So then, and then that's the end of the number, but like a couple moments later. So Ryan had left the show at that time, so they asked me to come in just to step in before they hired someone else.
With how much notice?
2 hours, no, I'm kidding. No, it was probably like a... Probably, yeah, because I had already been doing it for a week.
So you're ready to rock and roll.
I was ready to rock and roll.
Cool, cool.
So it comes to the Saturday. So I've been doing it for the week. So I get to the moment. And it's really just about because you're working with, other forms of, you know, objects and stuff that sometimes you can have a bearing on, and sometimes it can kind of, you know, literally just take you off your feet. So what happened was I was doing the turns, and then it happened center stage. My momentum as I was finishing this phrase started to go forward.
Uh-oh.
Forward, forward, to the point where I fell head first into, drum roll please.
Oh no, hold on, I got
the,
you.
You got me? The orchestra pit.
Wow, beautiful, just beautiful.
So, and the conductor, Mark Hummel, the great Mark Hummel, hi Mark, grabbed me. He was able to get me with his left arm.
Unbelievable.
Still conduct with his right.
Holy
with the baton
cow.
In his hand.
Unbelievable.
So right after that moment in the show, there are three tumbling crosses from three different newsies from stage left to stage right, from house right to house left. So in that time frame, I blacked out for like maybe like 2 seconds or so. And then I was like, okay, it seems like I didn't really crash into anything hard.
Wow.
I was like, I'm okay.
Right.
Got back up on my feet, and then I was like, well, I'm okay.
Did you say feet?
Just, yeah.
Barely's.
So then I was like, okay, I need to get back on stage, but I feel like I'm able and steady enough to go on stage. And I was like, the underpass won't get there in time. So then I step on the keyboard to step on the net.
Wow.
And which was luckily sturdy, very sturdy.
Yeah, thank goodness.
To the point where the third tumbling cross happened right in front of me. I did a dive roll into the tableau, and I finished the number of seize the day.
Wow.
So it was like there was a little bit of uncertainty on the people on stage being like,
yeah.
Is he coming back up?
Right.
And then they saw me, and they were like, what?
Wow.
How did you get here? Yeah.
Wow.
So it's kind of become like a Broadway urban myth, or like, you know, an urban legend of some sort.
We
so
call that the Jess.
We call that the Jess. And I heard from people who were either at the show or, you know, stagehands who were backstage, overheard audience members saying, I thought it was part of the show.
Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. I love it. That's fantastic. Fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, the name of the show is Hello Dolly, Hollywood Pantages Theater, a great venue and a great show. This is a really nice combination. Tickets start as low as $35. Do they still do student rush at the Pantages ever? No student rush. So, ladies and gentlemen, $35 to go see a show at the Pantages. That's a great deal.
Yeah,
get your tickets now.
And it plays, Andrew, Tuesday through Friday.
It does.
At 8 p.m.
Great, great.
Saturday at 2 p.m. and 8 p.m. Sunday at 1 p.m. and 6:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So you have an early, nice Sunday, beautiful show. Go home and get in bed by the time you need to go to work in the next morning.
That's right.
Right? And Wednesday, January, that's past. So as Andrew just said, $35 tickets available. You can't beat that. HollywoodPantages.com.
That's right.
Get your tickets there, or 800-982-2787, or as I've said repeatedly, Hollywood Pantages Box Office.
That's right.
You might get better seats if you go there. That's really
thing. I like that. That's
They're very deal. Nice people in that box office.
Yes. And a good Valentine's Day gift.
Totally.
What
really
Michael doesn't know is
he always
gets, it is a great Valentine's Day show, too. Michael always gets great seats because everybody knows him. He just assumes that's work for the rest of us.
Michael, come
He's
on
like,
in.
Ah, doesn't that just happen? Don't people just open doors for you? Don't they just hand you money when you walk down the street? It's so weird.
That sounds nice.
Good to be Michael Sterling. Jess, where can people go find out about you?
Yeah. Oh, yes. So on Twitter, I'm at D8Jess. That's my So You Think You Can Dance handle that I've had for a while now. On Instagram, it's JLaprato_official, Jess Laprato on Facebook. So there are all the social media outlets that they can reach me at. So.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah.
Great, great. Well, thank you both for joining us
thank
today.
You. We
greatly
cannot.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. You're too kind. Thank you.
We hope you enjoy your time in Los Angeles.
We do.
And next time you
Indeed.
Come through, you got to call us up and come see us again, okay?
Please.
We sure will.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Michael, as always, such a pleasure to sit across from
Thank
you.
Thank you, Andrew, and I feel the same about you. Where will I see you next?
I will be on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.